God, we thank you today for the opportunity that we have to gather together. We thank you for the privilege that we have to open your scriptures, to read, to study, to hear from your Holy Spirit, to be challenged, God, in our faith. And Lord, we do pray, as we did earlier for Sam and Elizabeth, we pray for Cliff and Jeannie and Caleb as they head out this week. We pray for others in our church family who are returning, the group from the youth that are coming back from Denver today, and others that are going to be going out in the near future. Lord, we are grateful for the many opportunities that we have to be a part of your work in this world. Lord, we are grateful for the gifts that you have given us by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray this morning as we look at your word and what you have to say about that, God, that you would, again, give us insight, that you would move in our hearts, and Lord, that you would help us to see the ways that we can be a part, each one of us, of this work that you're doing, this amazing, incredible work, transforming lives, communities, Lord, for the gospel of Christ. And so, God, we lift all of these requests to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as Ken mentioned earlier, we are working our way through these five core values that our church operates sort of on, that identify kind of who we are as a body of Christ. Last week we finished up, we're spending 2 weeks on each one, and we finished our second week last week on growing together. We did look at that passage, Hebrews 10, that Ken read for us, and focused on the importance of really encouraging one another. That part of growing together is encouraging one another, looking out for one another, and continuing to fellowship and to meet together regularly as believers for that purpose. That it's not just so that I can grow, but it's so that I can help others to grow. That it's a outward focus on being a blessing to others. Today we're going to start our first of 2 weeks with that break next week for Rich, and then we'll finish up, I guess, in 2 weeks from now, on serving our community. And so I'd like to begin by reading the longer description of that value that we operate on. It says, "We believe that we should adopt the same attitude as Christ, who came to serve and not to be served. Every believer is a part of the body and has been gifted to serve. We want all members of the body to use their gifts in service to the church and to the surrounding community to the glory of God." This morning we're going to focus probably really on the second half of that as we talk about the gifts that God gives us for his service. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to begin by reading verses 12 through 27 of that chapter. It says, "The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So I have a picture I want to share with you this morning as we start there on the screen. Some of you probably know exactly what that is. Some of you are looking very confused right now. But this is a picture, a cartoon, if you will, by a man by the name of Rube Goldberg. And Rube Goldberg was a cartoonist that published in newspapers primarily during the middle of the 20th century. He became sort of synonymous with these crazy machines that he would draw that were very complex, but did something very simple. So in this one that we have on the screen, the gentleman is wearing this contraption that when he takes a sip of his spoon, a series of things happens, and eventually the napkin dabs his chin afterwards. Now, the reason I share that with you this morning is because the thing about a Rube Goldberg machine is that if any one part of that doesn't function or is absent, then the whole thing isn't going to accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. Many parts, all interdependent upon one another to accomplish a task. A complex machine. A pretty apt description of the human body, which is what Paul uses as an analogy to talk about the body of Christ, or the church, the people of God. We have a task that is not as simple as dabbing your chin with a napkin, but it is a very important task. And God has given the gifts necessary to accomplish that task. The task is to share the gospel, to make disciples, to tell others about the kingdom of Christ, and to welcome them into that kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. That is our task. And again, the gifts are given by His Spirit to accomplish the task. That's the focus of the passage that we read just a minute ago, and what we want to try to understand this morning, and not only understand it, but then to apply it to our own lives and to the life of God's church, this body. Every believer has God-given gifts, which are necessary for the work of the body of Christ to the glory of God. Now, Paul begins the passage by first explaining that all believers are a part of Christ's body. As we talk about this body and serving together, every believer is a part of Christ's body. Verse 13, it says, "So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Now, what Paul says there needs to be understood in two different ways. The first of those is that means that no matter who we were before we became a believer in Christ, or what we were before we became a follower of Christ, our identity now is as a part of Christ's body, that we are all together, all of us, of the same body with the same Spirit. He goes on and he sort of gives examples. He says, there's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. Those would have been categories that at that time would have been dividing lines. The Jews and the Greeks did not get along. The Jews, because the Gentiles did not have the law, and the Gentiles, because the Jews were so odd and strange, and so they did not associate one with another. Obviously, the difference between a free person and a person who is in slavery is vast, and the way that they would normally interact would be governed by those categories. But Paul is saying that's not the church. That's not the kingdom. That we are all one in the same body. This church in Corinth that Paul is writing to had many problems with division, within the body of Christ. And Paul is on at one level seeking to address those divisions by reminding them that we are all together one body in Jesus Christ. Every believer, no matter what you were before, we now are one in Jesus Christ. And again, that's important for us to remember as well. As you think about our culture, the time period that we're living in, we live at a time where the rhetoric is increasingly divisive. That we hear every day in the news and other places, just this increasingly divisive rhetoric on all sides and all fronts. But what Paul would say to us is, as the church, the body of Christ, we are one. We have to go beyond, rise above the rhetoric of the culture, and remember that every one of us is a part of Christ's body. And God invites all to come through faith in Jesus Christ to be a part of that. The second way that we need to understand this statement of Paul is that we, therefore, also cannot opt out of the body of Christ. That we all are a part of that body. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a part of His church, the body of believers. That there are some, again, that you hear today who say things that sound very noble and progressive and talk about how they love Jesus, but they don't want to have anything to do with the church, that the church is outdated, it's unimportant, etc. It's just, you know, I just love Jesus. I don't care about His church. But if you stop again and you think about exactly what Paul is saying here, the church is, again, His body. Given the task to do His work, to carry out His mission. He is the head of that body. And so when we reject the body, when we run from it, what we're really doing, and if we're honest about it, isn't anything noble or progressive. It's sinning against Christ. Yes, the church has its problems. And yes, the people of God carry with them some of the sin and the problems of our life before Christ. We're not perfect. But it is the church that God is working in and through to accomplish His will. And therefore, we are a part of that. Heather King is a writer and a commentator for NPR. She is also a recovering alcoholic who came to faith in Christ. She reflects on her initial experience with the church in the following. She said, "My first impulse was to think, I don't want to get sober, or in the case of the church, worship with these nutcases, these boring people, people with different politics, taste in music, food, books, whatever. Nothing shatters our egos like worshiping with people that we did not handpick. The humiliation of discovering that we are thrown in with extremely unpromising people, people who are broken, misguided, wishy-washy, out for themselves, people who are us. But we don't come to church to be with people who are like us in the way that we want them to be. We come because that we have staked our souls on the fact that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the church is the best place, the only place to be, while we all struggle to figure out what that means. We come because we are hard-pressed to say which is the bigger scandal of God, that He loves us or that He loves everyone else. Every believer is a part of the body of Christ. It's not always an easy thing, but it is absolutely essential as we talk about carrying on the work. We are serving together our community through Jesus Christ and His body. Every believer then is a part of Christ's body. As Heather King puts it, we did not pick them, but rather God did. Which brings us to our next point this morning, and that is that every believer is also important to the body. God has called each one, has given them gifts, and made them a part of His body, and therefore each one is important. Look with me at verse 18. It says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If all were one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So every person is given different gifts. They come with different experiences, with different backgrounds and relationships. And God brings them together into his church, his body, in order to carry on this work that he has given us to do. Now, I want to let that sink in for a moment. Because sometimes when we hear that, we don't personalize it. But that means that God has given each one of us gifts that he intends to be used for the work of Christ in and through his church. Think back to the illustration again, the Rube Goldberg machine. Each part in that mattered in order for that work to take place as it should be. And the same is true in the church. If each person is doing the work that God has called them and gifted them to do, then the church is able to carry out that mission far more efficiently and effectively. Look at verse 21 with me. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. All right, so I want you to, again, we need to understand this in a couple of different ways as we read those words. The first one is this, that every person is needed. If I can't say to another member of the body with different gifts, I don't need you, that's because they're needed for the work that God has given us to do. I think back to just a couple of weeks ago, when we were doing VBS out here at the church. And it was a beautiful thing to get to just watch that all happen on each night of that week as there were some 80-plus kids every night. And we had adults and youth all out here working together. There were those that were assigned to groups and just spending time with those kids, developing relationships with them, making sure that they knew that they were cared about, that we wanted them to be here, that they were in each place where they were supposed to be, that they were safe. We had the registration people taking in names and greeting the parents and visiting with them and getting information down so that we can follow up with those families and invite those kids to other things going on here at the church. Again, helping with safety and security things here at the body. And then we had people that were teaching. We had people that were helping with crafts, people that were helping with snacks, people that were helping with games, all doing a different part in order to carry on this ministry of sharing the gospel and making disciples with these kids. Now, I share all of that because that's just a picture, a small picture. One aspect of the ministry of the body of Christ and how different gifts, different responsibilities, different experiences and passions come together in order to do the work that God has called us to do. Every believer is needed because everyone is gifted. Even if maybe our gifts don't look like or seem like what other people are doing or the way that other people minister. I remember the summer before I entered fifth grade, I went to Bible camp with our church that summer. And it was a small camp. Wasn't large enough to have a regular staff, and so different churches would send volunteers to help each week of the summer for camp. And so my cabin leader that summer was a guy by the name of Harold. And Harold wasn't what you would expect from a cabin leader if you've been to camp, in most places. Harold was, at that time, in his mid-70s. And so he wasn't the young, energetic cabin leader that you might normally find at camp with a group of soon-to-be fifth-grade boys. But Harold did two things that were very effective that week. The first one is Harold got up very early in the morning, which meant that by about the second or third day, our whole cabin was getting up very early in the morning, to the point where we were done, showered, dressed, ready for the day, probably 2 hours before breakfast. every day. The other thing that Harold did really well is he told stories. He loved to tell stories. And so we had about 2 hours every morning to hear stories and to walk around the camp and to explore God's creation with Harold. And some of those stories stayed with me and were influential in why I entered in ministry. Every person is needed. And every person is also in need. That's the second way we need to understand what Paul says there in verse 21. Every one of us is in need. There is no person who can carry on the work of Christ in this world alone. No one possesses all the gifts that are necessary for making disciples. Rather, we need one another in order to carry on that work. I was at an evangelism conference once where they talked about, I don't know where the statistic came from, but they talked about how the typical person who's converted to faith in Jesus Christ has relationship with seven different believers. I don't know, again, that's average, but seven different people who are already believers who are influencing them, sharing with them about Christ. That it isn't just one person. Biblically speaking, what Paul shares, even in this book of Corinthians, is that there are some who plant the seed, some who water. God brings about the growth. So each part doing its, each person doing his or her part in the work of Christ and sharing the gospel, making disciples for God's kingdom. Every believer is a part of Christ's body. Every believer is important to the body. And this is because every believer can both hurt and help. Every believer can both hurt and help. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If one part suffers, every part suffers. We need to be concerned for one another. That is exactly what we talked about last week when we looked at growing together in Hebrews chapter 10. The importance of having concern for one another, for the growth of one another. And because when one person, when one part of the body is hurting, it doesn't just hurt the one, but it hurts others who are connected in. And so we have a concern for one another, a desire to help one another in Christ, to heal the hurt. I remember when I was in seminary, one time we were talking about how you run across this in church where there's folks that sometimes have gone from one church to another church to another church to another church, you know, in a series and never really sinking down any roots, never really sort of getting involved and developing relationships. A lot of times going from one church to the next because of conflict and other things that have happened and then finding more conflict and going on to the next place. And I remember my professor described that phenomenon as floating ribs in the body of Christ. And I remember, as I thought about it, that it was a fairly apt description because the truth is that a floating rib is the result of a wound, right? And it breaks off because it's been wounded, and yet it's also something that can cause wounds as well. And what is needed there is healing from those wounds, becoming a part, again, of the body in a meaningful way. Not only can each part hurt, but each part can also help. Can help on a personal level those who are hurting. I'm amazed at this church. It's one of the great blessings of being a part of this body in the role that I'm in is getting to see how oftentimes I'm not the first one to the hospital. I'm oftentimes not the first person who's called to check in on someone, maybe who's been gone for a while, or to somebody who's got a problem or a need. Because, again, as a body, the intent is for all of us to be involved in concern for and caring for one another. Now, that's done, I think, again, fairly well in this body. And yet, the truth is that there's always, if you have your eyes open and are looking for ways to help people at a personal level, there are always needs that we can meet and address. We can help on a personal level. We can help in corporate needs as well. There are opportunities, consistently opportunities to serve in ministries here at Silent Springs Bible Church. There are needs every year in Sunday school. There are needs in children's church. There are needs in our small groups. There are needs in our women's ministry, in our men's ministry, and in Mothering Matters and other areas of work and ministry and ways to be involved in those things. Every part can help as well in the work of Christ in our community. As we go out and again build relationships and get to know people with the purpose of sharing the love of Christ with them. We've talked before about the Love to Learn ministry that is happening here this summer on Mondays and Wednesday mornings with the adults who are working with these kids, the youth that are there to help coach them, and yet the truth is this, that despite all of the great organization by Pat and Becky and others and all of the teachers that are here and the youth that are here, that ministry would not have found success if the kids didn't show up. And I was talking with Pat the other day. He mentioned that the majority of the kids that are here on Monday and Wednesday mornings are not here because they saw a flyer that was sent home, you know, at some organization or at school or something. But the majority of the kids that are here are being brought by people within the body of Christ who know them through relationships in their neighborhoods, with friends, through family members and so forth, and are bringing them, sometimes driving them themselves every Monday and Wednesday so that they can be a part of that ministry and hear what God is doing and wants to do in their lives. And so there's ways that each of us can be involved personally, corporately, and in our communities, helping Christ accomplish his work. Every believer can both hurt and help. Well, Rube Goldberg died in 1970. So I never actually saw his cartoons in the newspaper myself. I was introduced to him later on by a friend. And that friend of mine used those as an illustration of something that is referred to sometimes in the design community, intelligent design community, as irreducible complexity. It's one of the great challenges that faces evolution by natural selection. And so the same thing is true, the idea that within our bodies, even down at a cellular level, that there are systems which are irreducibly complex, right? And that is evidence for the truth that there is a designer behind it. As believers in Christ, we don't have a problem recognizing that God has design in his creation. He has designed our human bodies in a very complex way to work together to do all of the things that we do as human beings. And in the same way, he has designed the body of Christ, with all of its varied parts, with all of these different gifts. Every believer is a part of that body. Every believer is needed and important to the work of Christ. Every believer can hurt and can help accomplish that work. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning for the reminder of how you have brought us together to be your church, to be your witness, to carry on the work of Christ until he returns. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us recognize the privilege that we have to be a part of your body, to be a part of that work. And Lord, that you have given us your Spirit so that we might be gifted in different ways, that you might arrange those gifts so that that work can be accomplished in our homes, in our community, and in this world. Lord, help us to use those gifts to serve our community for the glory of Christ. In his name we pray, amen.